Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Fact is, we work reorder the thoughts. We worked with the lobby Conflict of Interest Commissioner on a regular basis on a broad range of issues when the issues come up. On this issue of a family vacation with a personal friend, it wasn't considered that there would be an issue there.
It's just unbelievable. I looked at the video of Mr. Trudeau being quizzed about his trip to the Bahamas to see the Aga Khan. And then I listened to it and I thought, oh, man, you know and I know and so does everybody else. I want you to hear it again.
The fact is, we work reorder the thoughts. We worked with the lobby Conflict of Interest Commissioner on a regular basis on a broad range of issues when the issues come up. On this issue of a family vacation with a personal friend, it wasn't considered that there would be an issue there.
Okay, whatever you say. The Ethics Commissioner did not agree and convicted Mr. Trudeau of a violation of the Conflict of Interest Act. If I can say it, how come he can't say it? Now, let's talk to a former Liberal Member of Parliament who was Mr. Trudeau's seatmate in opposition, and Michelle Simpson, who, of course, is a good friend of this program and a member of our Beauties and the Beast panel. And we've talked to Michelle in the past about the ethics situation, what she faced when she would not behave unethically. And she was punished for that. But it's something else that Michelle said to me a few days ago when I called her that really, it had me standing up, Michelle. And it's nice to talk to you. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
So when we talked a bit about what you told us in the past. I'll ask you to explain it again in a moment because many people may not have heard what your experience was. But when you were being coached in how to violate the ethics of Parliament and the rules of Parliament when it comes to discretionary spending or expense account spending, you weren't alone. You had a member of your family there with you, your husband, right?
Absolutely, because it was during orientation and they actually encouraged, you know, the spouses to attend so that they can, you know, hear and see for themselves what you can expect. So it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, so here we go, Michelle Simpson and all the new members of Parliament and your significant others. We're going to tell you how this thing works. And including that, we're going to coach you on how to break the rules and how to compromise ethics. I can only imagine.
No, circumvent or, you know, nicely tippy-toe around the rules.
Oh, that's what they said, tippy-toe around them.
Yeah. With a nice smile.
Look, referees have whistles and flags, and I had enough contact in the world of sports to know that if you tippy-toe around the rules, it doesn't make any difference whether you barge through them or tippy-toe around them. You're still going to get called. What was your husband George's reaction when they got to the, and before we ask you about the details, what was his reaction when they started to coach you on how to circumvent the rules of the ethics?
Well, you have to understand his background. And he spent his career with a large Canadian bank. He was a vice president, and so he was used to rules, like very strict rules, and, you know, being audited and that type of thing. And his head literally exploded, and for two reasons. Number one, he couldn't believe what he was hearing, and number two, he was thinking like a taxpayer this is my money. You know, this is our money, Canadians' money, that we're that's being wasted or utilized for, you know, all the wrong reasons.
So I'm going to ask you about your situation when you refused to break the rules, even though you were essentially ordered to do so by the party leader and the party whip, and they punished you when you didn't. We'll do that in a bit. That's the story many of our listeners have heard you explain to us, and each time you do, I receive emails saying, basically, oh my God, it might as well start OMG, OMG, OMG. Now, can you tell us, though, how that nicely circumventing the rules discussion and the ethics and handling your expenses, how was that broached? What did they say? And who was saying it?
Well, specifically, you know, I was punished for posting expenses, and there was no rules against that. And in fact, I did have the permission of the party whip. And it was just, I was told I was making everybody look bad because they didn't want to do the same. Now, in terms of getting around rules, it was things like, for day one, you get a VIA rail pass that is good for the member to travel business class, like first class, as it were, anywhere that VIA goes. But then we were further told, now, see, what you can do is kind of cash it in and get two regulars so you can take your spouse along on a vacation.
And the
somehow that that just didn't make any sense.
No, like, isn't the theory, Michelle, behind those passes that you'd use them for business, government business?
Yeah, or you know, if you had to go, or a lot of members, I know of one NDP member that actually replaced me in the election in 2011, and he didn't drive, so he would commute by train, and that's fair enough. You know, because he lived right by a VIA rail station in Scarborough, and he would take the train to Ottawa. So, you know, that's good. It's a lot cheaper than flying. But no, and it was, and they, you could take the vacation. All you maybe had to do was maybe call a member, one of your fellow members out in Vancouver, and say you're going to stop by. And so you can basically write it off as like a business thing. but that was nothing I dreamed up. That was something that was explained.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I don't know why I'm laughing at this. I shouldn't be. But it's just so ludicrously unacceptable. So they would say to you, or you led to understand, that if you had a colleague, a fellow member of parliament in Vancouver, and you wanted to go to BC for vacation, you could cash in your business class ticket issued by the government to Michelle Simpson, Member of Parliament, and you could take the money, you could buy two economy tickets for you and your husband, and you could just boogie off to Vancouver, and then you could write it off because you'd said to this fellow member, we're coming to see you, whether you did or didn't.
We're going to visit the riding.
Oh, visit the riding. That's even better.
So, you know.
Oh, my goodness. So you'd go into a restaurant in the riding and you could write the dinner off.
That's right. Business. No, so, and that was literally explained. And that was, you know, only one example of, you know, how to get around things.
Was there anything else that you remember off the top of your head about what stood out?
Well, I had experience where, this is how I got into politics. I was the riding association president for a member, a Liberal member, and that's how I got indoctrinated. And I remember what he said when it came time for giving his staff raises, which was, you know, once a year, that his preference was to give them performance bonuses that weren't outside the realm of anything. He was not extravagant, but his preference was performance bonuses as opposed to just throwing money. And that was something that I really believed in. If someone worked really hard, they were entitled to a little more money than, you know, the next guy. So I understood. I was explained to me when I was elected that they'd done away with that because I guess it was abused. So, but here's a way to get around it. you increase the staff member's salary a few months before the formal increase goes through, like give them a huge raise, which constitutes a bonus, and then you just drop back their salary a few months later.
Oh, my. So they had this thing wired. And that was just accepted behavior.
Absolutely. Because they were passing on the message.
Doesn't that remind you of the conversation you and I had with the British Member of Parliament when the...
Oh, yes.
Remember when the Brits had a massive scandal a few years ago, where members of the British Parliament had been spending their expense money on, one guy spent it on building a moat around his castle. I mean, it was insane. And then when we spoke to the British MP, you and I, Michelle, he said, well, we had a caucus meeting, we had a party meeting, and we were told by the heads of the caucus, look, we understand that members of Parliament don't make enough money by our estimate, and we can't give you any more, so why don't you just use your expense account as additional salary? Just do with it whatever you want.
Well, if it was caucus leaders, this came from the bureaucrats themselves. You know, the people in finance.
It's insane.
These were not by the caucus. This was by actual bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Which makes it sadder.
Some of the British MPs... If I can recall correctly, and I can look this up, but some of the British MPs, as I remember, were facing criminal charges, and I wonder if
they
any
were.
Yeah, I wonder if any of them ever wound up in as guests of Her Majesty's involuntary hotel.
That would be interesting to find out, but I remember they were going to be criminally charged because it was fraud.
Yeah,
pure and simple.
And, you know, if you build a moat around your castle, it's not going to be cheap.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but I guess maybe he stopped before the drawbridge was put in. I don't know, but oh, my goodness. Michelle, Florence just sent me an email about the British scandal. And it's Ed Balls and Yvette Cooper. I'll just read this to you. In September 2007, the married couple and Labour cabinet ministers, Ed Balls, the Secretary of State for Children, Schools and Families, and Yvette Cooper, then the housing minister, used the Commons allowance system to pay for a $655,000 house in Stoke Newington, North London. The couple subsequently declared this to be their second home, despite spending most of the time in London in order to fulfill their ministerial responsibilities and their children attending London schools. The declaration of the Stoke Newington property as their second home meant they became eligible for a reported additional cost allowance of £44,000 a year to cover the property's $438,000 mortgage. The Conservative MP Malcolm Moss made a complaint to the Parliamentary Commission for Standards, who agreed to launch an investigation into the matter. The commissioner ultimately found the couple had acted in accordance with parliamentary rules and as such dismissed the complaint against them. The Committee on Standards and Privileges agreed with the commissioner's dismissal of the complaint. This is what you were talking about.
It's unbelievable that would be dismissed.
Yeah.
And you see, that's the problem. You know, you get coached and, you know, you go into it and you think, it won't happen to me. I know a lot of members have said this, but then I've seen what happens to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's sort of everybody's doing it. It was like when I talked to the leader when I was on the carpet for having posted mine. And by the way, I posted it, started posting as soon as I was elected. The first year end was March 2009. So I posted, by the time I went through everything, it got posted by July. And that's when, you know, people took notice, but then it died down. Then what made it an issue was a lot of things coming to light in our parliament, people taking advantage with housing allowances. And so the spotlight was back on it. And that's when I became the bad guy.
And you were told, stop it.
Yes.
Stop it or else.
You have to stop. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, nor do I want to.
No, I just don't.
It's not me. So then the punishment came, and the punishment was in the form, and I know a lot of your listeners know this, that I was not allowed to speak in Parliament, and that's a big part of the job. I couldn't give a member statement. I couldn't ask a question. It was like I was on mute.
And you couldn't acknowledge the death of a Canadian soldier, one of your constituents, a young man, 21 years of age, in Afghanistan. You couldn't mention the death of a police officer who was run over by a maniac driving a snowplow.
That's right. It lived in my riding. And it was very, very hard for me. That was the biggest challenge. Because I like to acknowledge, and I before the, they silence me, I was able to acknowledge a veteran that had arranged to get the poppies put on a few street signs in Scarborough. He'd worked hard for that. I got to acknowledge that. So I thought, what am I doing here? I'm a potted plant.
Mm-hmm. But if you'd gone along, they offered you a rather large office with a window looking out onto the Rideau Canal and your own bathroom.
Well, yeah, the own bathroom, because when I got my office, I thought, my God, there are families of four that live in less space than this. You know, I had a great size office. It was just given to me as one of the members, good view over the river. And I was in Confederation House, and it was great. So I didn't want a new office. I didn't even need the office I had.
Yeah. Michelle.
But there you go.
Thank you so much for sharing this with us again. And the coaching is frightening. And the situation in the UK, well, who knows?
I'm
that
sure
could be happening here.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle.
It still goes on. Okay. Thank you.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.